Amen. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Oh, look at this. Aren't these cool? Where are these? Okay. Make sure you take, just empty the seats as you leave. And what's cool about these is the back has all the events. So it has the family Christmas party. It has the ugly Christmas sweatshirt. Sweater. And then, of course, our Christmas Sunday and all the details on that. So give these out to a lot of people. A lot. So I was looking over how much we got done last week. And as I looked, it shocked me that as we started John chapter 1 3 weeks ago, guess where we're at right now? John chapter 1. And then I really was shocked because I thought we had gone farther, but I saw we really only got to all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So we took a little time last week and went into that, but I reminded myself about my thought. I've told you this. When I was in Bible college, a lot of times the really discussions would get going so good, and there'd be so much learning and so much interaction and so much going on, and then the professor would look and he'd go, oh, look at the time. We've got to move on because we have to get through this material. And I always used to think, man, when I become a pastor, listen, if we are in John all year, how many know that's going to be okay? Because it is the material. What are we going to do? Are we going to go to John, to Matthew? How many know Matthew's going to be good? How many know Mark's going to be good? We go to James. How many know James is going to be? It's like, what's the point? You know what I mean? The point is the material that we're looking at. And so last week, as we looked at that everything that was made, and then we looked at some other passages and just God opened it up to us. It was just so, so rich. So I just don't want to get in this self-propelled restriction to just not go as the Holy Spirit's pace. Does that make sense? So I say that to you in advance. We get no prize at the end of the month if we're through John at the end of the month. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's just take it from the top. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that that's Jesus because we looked down and looked at 14, and we're teaching that the best way to study the Word is to allow the Word to define what the truth is. And if we will just look above it and look below it and research it out, we'll find, like we saw last week, that these other passages are saying the same thing. And you can find other passages that will not only say the same thing, but they'll, what we saw last week, they will make it richer and they will bring more depth. Because, and they will always say the same things, always. And if you look at passages that seem like they're saying different things, it's because you haven't studied it. It's because you haven't studied it. Here's why. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says there's not even a shadow of turning in God. So even though God is using different authors or different writers, there's one author, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's God, and he's not changing his mind. And so oftentimes, at first glance, it looks like they're saying different things. But when you start to read it and start to study it, you'll find, oh, no, no, no. That just has to do with my lack of looking into the details. Have you ever looked at something, you know what? I remember being hit by somebody in a car or something. And you look and you're like, oh, it's okay. It looks like everything's okay. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. You know what? Then you get home and you see a scratch you didn't see. You didn't see it right away. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So we saw that everything that God made was, we saw that the Bible said was good. But then we saw specifically that we were made by him, and we were made for him. You were made for him. So then we saw James says, hey, stop saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Why? Because you were, everything that was made through him and by him and for him. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the darkness didn't comprehend it. How many recognize that's true? How many know somebody that they knew the truth, they were confronted with the truth, but they have resisted the truth? How many have you been like that at any point in time in your life? It's not that you didn't know it, it's that you didn't receive it. Does that make sense? And what I want to show to you is this verse in verse 1 says you didn't comprehend it. Oh yeah. Watch this. All eyes up here for a second. Watch this. Yeah, Pastor. See? It's not our fault. I just didn't understand. I just didn't comprehend it. See, that's what he said. It's not my fault. Oh, keep on reading, Jackson. Remember Corinthians says, no temptation has overcome you, but with that temptation, somebody say, with that temptation. How many know something's coming with that temptation? How many know what is coming with that temptation? Raise your hand if you know what's coming with that temptation. See if any. Yeah, there's something coming with that temptation. You know what it is? That James or Corinthians says, there's 1 Corinthians says, there's something comes with that. You know what it is? It's the way of escape. No sin. Somebody say no sin. See, and if you look back at it, if you really analyze situations in your life and were honest, you could see that way of escape. You could see it. One thing I want to teach you through John is I want to teach you how to study the Word of God. So, if I wanted to get more comprehension on this verse, what would I do? What would I do? Yeah, I'd read, what have I taught you? How would you read? You'd read above it and you'd read below it. So, let's go below it. Turn to John 3. So start with let's go to John 3:16. Because how many know that's a good place to start? So I'm going to start. Let's start there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, everybody say whosoever. believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. Oh, praise God. Somebody say there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember a couple months ago, we spent a whole sermon just talking about there had no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they believed in Christ. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, you become born again. You know what? Now your sin is washed away. So there's no condemnation. For who? For who? Well, for you, good, because you're born again. But that's for who? For anyone who believes. Verse 18, and he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, watch this, is condemned. What's that next word? What's that next word? Come on, everybody look at it. What's that next word? How many know these words are really important? Words, he's communicating theological truths through words. They're condemned already. See, the truth is, I don't care if everyone gets mad at me because I talk about Jesus. We live in a world today where you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Hare Krishna, you can talk about all kinds of things. Exactly. You can talk about, the Beach Boys. You know what? You sing their songs 8 times and you're going to get saved. How many know all kinds of people coming up with all kinds of loony stuff? And watch this. And the coolest thing going around is this. And you know what? You can't tell me how I'm going to get saved. You can't. No. Even, some people, they find out you're Christian. They're like, oh, that's so good. That's. They even kind of do this. Oh, that's so good for you. I'm glad that's working for you. No. Let me tell you why you need to talk about Jesus. Because without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there is no remission of sin. See, look. Let me just teach you what most people in the world believe. This is the common world thought. We are all good. By nature, we are basically inside. We are basically good. How many know that's not what God teaches? Watch, I'll show it to you. That's the word. That's why I stopped at that word. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned. What? Already. How many know the day when you were born? Someone said, oh, that precious, pure little baby. Just so innocent and so pure and so righteous. You just wait till that baby can walk. Amen. See, the only reason you think that of that baby is because that baby can't get up. It can't tell you nothing. But as soon as that baby can, as soon as that baby can walk, that baby becomes incredibly defiant. Let me talk about one of my children. And I won't tell you who it is. But my son, when he was little, we asked Tyler to stay in his crib. And Tyler would just crawl over his crib. Just get out. Little guy. It's like, how do you? And the reason why that was freaky to us, it was freaky in the fact he just got out, for one. You know, but the second thing was freaky is we lived in a townhouse and it was upstairs, downstairs, and our bedrooms were upstairs. So when he got out, we were very concerned that he'd start crawling. When he'd crawl, he'd crawl down the stairs, and it wouldn't be, that wasn't going to be good. So this was a big concern of ours, and we tried to to communicate with our precious little pure son to stay in his crib, of which he would not do that. So my wife is extremely resourceful, and she found this little bed, and this bed was cool because it was like this top had this kind of pup tent kind of thing, and you could put him in bed and then zip up the deal. And so we zip it up and we're like, oh, now we can rest in peace. And Tyler figured out, I don't know how he did it, how to unzip it from the inside. Unbelievable, you know what I mean? So he is smart. So we got this little, true story, we got this little lock. You know what I mean? And we zipped it up, and then we put that lock on it. Like, you know what? Hey, you're smart, but me and Mama are smarter. Not true. So he couldn't get out of the front. So we had it up against the wall. He wedged it up from the side of the wall, and then he got out the back. Amen. One day I was sitting right here, standing right here, and one of our many angels that go to this church, they were about here, and they started to go up on the they started to walk up the stage. And this little one's father said, no. And I saw this little one look back and then look, and I could tell what was going on in their mind. They were thinking, okay, can I get up there before he can get here? And all of a sudden, all of a sudden they turned and went as quickly as they could up there. And all of a sudden, this passage came to me. How many have young kids and you recognize? Oh, come on. You know what? You're thinking, man, they got that from daddy, huh? Right? Well, to a little extent, that's absolutely true. It was through his corruptible seed that came. Amen. I'm not ripping on I'm not a, just for the record, I'm not one of these men bashers. Listen to me, this is serious. We live in a society that is learning it's fashionable to hate men. Men are useless, men are worthless. They're lower on the evolutionary chain, and none of it is true. They are extremely valuable. They're as valuable as a woman is. They're not more valuable than a woman, but they're not less valuable than a woman. Amen. But look, they are condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, I don't care what you think is going to save you. There's no other name under heaven except the name of Jesus, by which all men may be saved. And if you reject Jesus Christ, you know what? Yeah, but I'm not a bad person. Says who? Says who? Who says that? Well, I'm not that bad. Yeah, you are. You think about it for a minute. You think about how many commandments you have broken. And you think of how many times you have broken those commandments. And you want to sit here, and I do the same thing, and justify and say, I'm not that bad. No, every person on the face of this earth needs Jesus Christ. They need the blood of Jesus to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Amen. There is none righteous. No, not one. Not one. So the problem is, watch this, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Everyone needs Jesus. Watch this. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into, listen to me, into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. No, Pastor, I just didn't comprehend it. No. John gives more clarity. It's not that you didn't understand it. It's not that you didn't hear what Daddy said. I'm coming to this point on purpose. It's not that you didn't hear what Daddy said. It's that you wanted to play those bongos. And so all you did was make a judgment call that what I want to do is more important than what he's telling me to do. You know what the judgment is, really? It's, I'm smarter than him. See, Eve was deceived into thinking that God didn't have her best interest. How many remember when you were a teenager? And you thought that your parents didn't have your best interest for you. I mean, you didn't really think that, well, some of you, but most of you, you didn't think your parents were evil people. You just thought, man, they just don't know. They don't want me to have fun. They don't know, watch this, they don't know I'm going to do this and not get hurt. I'm going to do this. And I just read recently, there's this new fad going on. It's, well, maybe you did it when you were growing up. Maybe it's not so new, but they call it car surfing. And these kids are standing on the roofs of the cars, not hanging on to anything. Well, how many know? Come on, man. You know, stupid is stupid does. Come on. But how many of you did some stupid things when you were that age? And you judged that your parents weren't that smart. Well, now, how many recognize who was the smart one and who was the foolish one? Amen? Well, that's what he's saying. Listen to me. God knows best.
Yes, he does.
He can see things that you can't see. You know what? I read a book by Jimmy Evans. And this book was written particularly to help people who are dating. And in this book, there's what he calls signs, these red flags that'll pop up. Now listen, if you're married, boom, you're married. Yeah, but Pastor, I should have married somebody else. Well, I like seeing it like this, and I want you to understand this very carefully. The grass always looks greener on the other side. Well, how many know the reality is that other person that you're thinking, man, if I would have just married him because they were like me, you know, all this. How many know you think that because you don't live with him? All you know about that guy is how he opened up your door and had flowers for you and, you know what, whatever. You know, listen to me. Let me be very carefully. Anyone who gets a divorce and gets remarried, the person that they are going to marry will be 10% better or 10% worse than the person they divorced. Wow. I mean, relatively, might be 11%. You know what? But I'm saying that, you know, why? Because unless you're going to, you know, I mean, why? Because you're marrying a jacked up person. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Just like the person you divorced was jacked up. Amen? Just like you. Amen? That's true. Listen, I want to be real clear because I want to make sure everybody understands this. I am not, there are some people probably even in this room who've gone through a divorce. You know what? That doesn't mean that, you know what, there's not restoration. Of course. But this thought of this, I'll just call it stupid, this stupid Disney notion that we're going to marry somebody and they're just going to cause us to be happy every single day is a ridiculous notion. And listen, and if you think that, let me just warn you, Satan is setting you up for a nightmare. No, listen, you want to get married? Then put your, you know what, put your big boy pants on and get ready. Pastor, you're not describing this as a very fun adventure. No, let me tell you what. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. And the Bible's clear, you know what? When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and he's blessed of the Lord. But it doesn't say that you're not going to have challenges. Does this make sense? And so there's challenges in life. But let me tell you about God. God always knows best. And when you're trying to make that evaluation, you know what? No. Whatever you think that is, whatever the congas, whatever the bongos in your life, whatever those things are called, whatever that represents in your life, you're smarter to say, yes, Daddy. You're always smarter to say, yes, Daddy. And so when John says in the first chapter that, you know what, what's the word he uses? What? No, it's not in there. Yeah, what's the word? Yeah. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Don't you think comprehend means, oh, yeah, it's not my fault. No, the Bible is crystal clear. You know what? No, the light came, and this is the commandment that the light has come into the world, And men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They just remember you when you were in high school. Remember you when you were in a teenager. You just really wanted to do what you wanted to do. Now, how many of you could raise your hand and say, I did some of those things, and it was not a good thing for me. How many would raise your hands to say that? See, all over. Well, why'd you do that? This is deep. Because that's what you wanted to do. And you so wanted to do it, you overwrote, you snuck. Did you not sneak? Yeah, you snuck out, you know what I mean, you whatever. Amen. I remember one time the some of the guys in my hangout, we used to live at this end of the cul-de-sac, and these crazy guys would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, push their parents, the Riley brothers, push their parents. What did they have? Yeah, a car. I'm trying to think of what kind of car it was. It was a Volkswagen. It was a Squareback. You said push their Squareback, orange Squareback, pushed it out. You know what? Or real quiet, pushed it up the street and then started it, and then just drive all over at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why would they do that? I don't know. We just were dumb. And one time I thought, oh man, that's what I'm gonna do. You know what I mean? So I got up, you know what, whatever, you know what, like midnight, you know what, Jim Riley, hey, I'll meet you out here, okay, I'll be there. Snuck out, sure enough, snuck out while my parents sleeping. You know what, they're sawing logs. I'm sneaking out, get in the car, we drive around wood here, you know what I mean, it was stupid. But I remember coming back home, sneaking, and my sister was coming back late on a date. How many know I didn't calculate that part? My sister's when he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I just went out like you went out. You can go out, so can I. How many know we did nutty things when we were little? Why did I do that? Listen, here's my point. I snuck out on my parents. You know why you're sneaking? Because you know it's not right. Oh, how many know I'm going somewhere with this? How many know I'm setting you up? How come we sneak things acting like God can't see them? See, let me tell you something. Your parents are asleep, and you could sneak on your parents. But you can't sneak on God. Amen. How many know he sees everything? The whole point is, John, who originally says, no, they didn't comprehend it, later on brings more revelation to say, no, this comprehend, don't think comprehend means that you're not responsible for your actions. Because down deep inside, even non-Christians, you know the Bible says in Romans that no one is without excuse. You know, I hear people all the say, and they're just trying to trick you up like you don't know. Well, because most people don't know the word. They say, yeah, but what about somebody in Africa who never gets communicated to about Jesus? What are they going to do? Oh, they're going to be held accountable. They're going to be held accountable with what they know. What do they know? Well, they look at the sunset. Look at the moon. Well, you know what the Bible says? When you see the moon, you ever see the moon the other night? It was like unbelievable. What's God saying to every single person in the United States, every single person in Africa, every single person in Asia? What's he saying? Hey, I'm real. I put that in the sky. And they can deny it. You know what the Bible says? They suppress the truth. Mm-mm. You can suppress it if you want. You can act, I'm just being real. You can act like your sleeping around's okay. You can act like your stealing is okay. You can act like your bad attitude is okay. You can fool people around you like you're all that in a bag of chips. But God knows what's really going on. Amen. I love what he said to one of the brothers. I forget which one. He said the one who you know does that. I mean, same thing we do sometimes. You know, acting like we're going to have some righteous gift to God. You know what? Bring in the slop, the leftovers. The just, you know, no, not the first fruit. The leftovers, what we got left over. And that's what this guy's doing. He's bringing in just you know what, just a bunch of, you know what, old radishes that he was going to throw away anyway. And God says, you know what? What's your problem? And then he says, but don't you know my heart? How many know God doesn't hold judges? All God wants you to do is say, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, you're right. Man, I don't want to do that anymore. And turn, here's what the Bible says, that we need to turn and repent. You know why? That times, do you know this? Of refreshing would come. Man, God, listen, God doesn't care about your sin as long as you're willing to repent and move on today. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And for many of us, that moving on is going to be a tough decision, but it is always right to do the right thing. Amen. And you will never, ever, ever, you know what, ever be placed in a bad position when you do the right thing. Why? Because God will make sure of that. Yeah, but if I forgive them, they'll, you know what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let him repay. You just do the right thing. Or so, is somebody learning something today? Amen. Father, help us. Father, help us even this Christmas season to just have a desire to do the right thing. Help us to recognize that you only want the best for us. Help us to be strong in our commitment towards you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Hey, guys, thank you for coming out when the temperature is under 58 degrees. Amen, really. You know what? But all you got to do is bring a jacket, and life is good, is it not? How many glad you came tonight? Amen.